Organize Me Radio, Episode 80, Organizational Strategies for Parents Navigating Autism. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and April is Autism Acceptance Month, so I will be chatting with so many different people talking about autism all month long. Today's guest is one of my college friends. She is an educator, a mom, and she is the author of Awesome Spectacular Daughter, That's Me. Please welcome Amelia Dorsey Crawford. Welcome, Amelia.
Naima, thanks for inviting me. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. And I am so excited to have this chat with you because, you know, I don't have a whole lot of friends who also have children that are on the spectrum. And so I would love to just learn a little bit more about your journey. So today we'll talk about, you know, how you stay organized, how you make time for yourself and everything. But can you just tell us a little bit about your journey so far?
I guess I'll start with the beginning of my journey. When my daughter Eden was 1.5, 2, I noticed her toe walking, like walking on her tiptoes. And being an educator, I knew that that was one of the signs that she may be autistic. She's nonverbal still and didn't really babble a lot as a baby. And so I just went and got that diagnosis. I know that is one of the most important things that a parent can do, because once you get that diagnosis, the doors will open to services. And I just want to encourage you, don't think of it as a label. You're labeling your child, but more so you are getting the resources to help your child.
You know what? I think it's important that you mention that, because I feel like a lot of times in the Black community, we don't want people to label our children, because historically they've placed labels that, you know, maybe necessarily should not have been placed upon our children. So now when it comes to getting a diagnosis for something, you know, we're afraid. We don't want that label attached with our children. But when you put it like that, you let people know, this is how you get the services that your child needs. These are, you know, the services that will help your child grow and thrive. Then it's different. So I think that, you know, having people on like you, me, I think it, you know, kind of lets people know that, you know, it's not what they thought it was, you know. You also are an author of a book. Tell us about your book. What made you decide to write this book? What was your inspiration?
I didn't know I was going to write a book. I always liked writing, just something personal for me. But one night I was in her rocking chair, rocking her. She doesn't sleep. She still doesn't sleep. So like last night, she got up at 3:00 in the morning. So I think my body has adjusted. Some days are better than others, but I just remember her being around 2.5. And just crying, just rocking her, crying like, please go to sleep. And it just really came to me. And I was like, it was more of, I want her to know, even though I'm frustrated in this moment, that I love her and that I think she's awesome. I think she's spectacular. And also an affirmation for me as a mom, like I need to be telling my daughter these things, even though you may think that they're nonverbal, that they may not understand the words they're saying, but they can feel how you're talking to them. And so I just always want to let her know that it's okay that she may be different than anybody else. So, and I also help other people as well. Like, they're not the only ones going through this. And, you know, just a creative way to bring autism awareness to children and to adults, because it is taboo in our community. A lot of my family was like, oh, she probably just has, she probably can't hear. That's what's wrong with her. That, like, everything but autism. I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, the reality of it is, I don't know the exact statistics now, but last time I checked a couple of years ago, so it's probably different, it was something like 100 or 1 in 50 something children was diagnosed with autism, and something like 1 in 40 something boys, you know? So when you think of it like that, you know, that means we all likely know someone who has autism. We likely have someone in our family who is autistic. And so it seems like the numbers just keep increasing.
The statistic now is 1 in 36. And so they're like, my husband Mike, he has several family members that are autistic, and one is his uncle. I think his uncle is in his 60s 70s, and back then there was just no help. And I remember a story Mike told me, and his grandmother told me, that the Army tried to recruit him, and you can tell that he had autism, like you could tell. And so I thought that was heartbreaking, and she had to go down and like, no, you're not recruiting my son to go off to, I don't know if it was the Korean War, I don't know what war it was, but she was like, no, you're not. You know, so I thought that was interesting how I felt like they knew, but I don't know, they tried to take advantage of them, I believe.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting story.
And, you know, that's why it's important for people to advocate, you know, for autism awareness. Like, they need us to advocate for them, you know, when they're old enough, hopefully they can advocate for themselves. So it's definitely something that, you know, is interesting. And boy, I can't believe that. That's a little out there, like the nerve of people like taking advantage. But that's the reality, right? Like, people that have special needs are often taken advantage of. So, you know, people like us have to look out for them, right?
Yes, yes.
So can you tell me what a typical day in your life is like? What is it like raising an autistic child? I know what it's like for me, but I want to hear about what it's like for you. Are you able to maintain organizational systems around your home?
We make it work. I'm not an organized person naturally, so it takes me a while to get my thoughts together and what I need to do for the day. So a typical day, so I'm going to go with this year. This year has been crazy. I wanted to do more stuff for me. And one of those things is like being involved in my sorority. Mike is involved in his fraternity like heavily. And he's actually vice basilis, and I'm on the exec board. And we both, it's something we both enjoy. That's something on our own, not like, you know, a couple, just something we can do on our own. We added that. And I also added another job because I wanted coworkers. I actually miss having coworkers. Usually I go into people's home and just tutor. So I'm just dealing with the children and their parents, but I really wanted coworkers. And I talked to Mike, and he was like, well, if you want to. And so, not that I regret it, because the kids I've met at the high school and my teacher coworkers, they're wonderful, but it's a lot. And I won't be going back next year. I need a break, but it was fun while it lasted, but I'm ready for it to be over. And that's okay. I think you try things, and if it doesn't work, You don't have to do them again next year. And then maybe in 2 years, I'll try it again. But as far as eating, so within my two jobs, and they're both part-time, we have, he has speech twice a week, PT once a week, and OT once a week. And I just signed on. So in the summer, we usually do like a fun, like swimming or music. And I also added ABA therapy to help with potty training. She's six and I just can't get it. We both can't get it. And so sometimes I feel bad because I can teach other people's children, but I can't teach my own. So I just needed some help with that. So I reached out and hopefully she'll start, an ABA therapist will come in this summer and help with potty training.
So let me tell you, Gavin is nine now. Six yeah. years old was the age where it all clicked and he finally became potty trained. It was during the pandemic that he became potty trained. And I think it was because it was just me. Like, it wasn't outside, like, you know, any like school or right. daycare or whatever it was. It was just me trying to work with him to potty train him. So those are kind of things that I feel like as moms of children with autism, even if, you know, they hit a milestone, there's still those things, those, you know, little things that still might occur. But just know you're doing well, you know, because the whole potty training aspect is a tough part of, you know, what our children have to deal with. You know, it's hard. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that aspect of it, right? Like, they don't realize that, you know, my child's only been completely potty trained for 3 years and he's about to turn 10, you know, you know? So when it comes to your daughter's activities, because same with me, Gavin has ABA therapy, speech, OT, like, it's a lot for us as moms to handle. How are you able to manage all the various therapies that she has, the music, the swimming? How do you handle that?
I think God just gives me the capacity to do it. I don't know, like, I can take a nap right now. When she's at school, and on Friday she gets out early, but I just kind of dig deep and just keep going. I don't know. I don't think there's a trick to it. I think that sometimes it's, you have to want to do it, because I know some parents, even parents that aren't dealing with special needs children, you just still have to push through day-to-day activities, and the soccer moms and the football parents, all that, you know, you just gotta, it's just something you have to do. You will want to do it, because there's some parents that don't, and their children suffer for it.
So does your daughter have any organizational skills? Like, does she put away toys around the house or anything like that?
So I have to. So we do a lot of modeling and hand over hand. I know the new thing is hand under hand. So especially like with brushing her teeth. But as far as organizational skills, no, I should show y'all her room. When we offline, I might take a picture of her room. Because she likes, so she, her second diagnosis is sensory processing disorder. Mm-hmm. And so she likes to bring all the blankets, all the pillows, all her little stuffy toys in her room. And she'll just like, wait. So her room is horrific. And that's another thing. There's some things you, it's not worth the battle to fight, like clean up your room. Like, it's not even worth it some days. So
it's funny because Gavin has sensory processing disorder too. He loves like kind of like pressure like on his head, you know? So like a weighted blanket or like a heavy comforter or something. He always has to have something on his head. He likes being in dark rooms, so he just like if he's having a meltdown, if we put him in his room and turn all the lights off, he's instantly calm and he loves stuffed animals. Like, I'll take a picture and show you all the stuffed animals we have because I get it. We have a lot too. So what we do is, you know, my husband Eric, he puts Gavin to bed and I'm always like, Eric, put the toys away before he goes to bed. You know, we try to involve Gavin in putting the toys away. He'll put them away sometimes, but then a lot of times he's taking his toys and throwing them out. You know, like throwing them out of the toy box and everything. And he loves all his stuffies on his bed too. But yeah, we just like kind of have to like put them away and just maintain it the best that we can. With everything that you have going on, how are you able? You mentioned that you want to do more things for yourself. How are you able to engage in self-care at the moment?
Well, sometimes, like usually on Sundays, I'll ask Mike, I'll let him know like I need 2 hours and I'll just go in the room. I may just watch a movie just to kind of fill my cup back up because Eden takes a lot because she wants to lay on me, she rubs her cheeks on me, she likes playing with my arm fat. I'm like, don't do that. She does it to strangers too. I'm like, I get so embarrassed. Like she plays with people's arm fats and stomach. I'm like, oh, sorry. It's a tree thing. Like here's a squishy ball. But I just try to if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm getting better at just letting Mike know my needs. And I was like, I need a minute. And so he usually grants that request.
I love that you mentioned that you communicate with Mike and let him know that this is what you need because communication is important, especially when you have a special needs child. And I mean, I know for me and Eric, we're so exhausted all the time. I'm sure it's the same for you and Mike. How are you able to find time for each other? Do you have a chance to go out on, you know, with just the two of you?
So our goal is to do one date night. I think we missed March because again, and usually, so lately, if our prospective organizations have an event, that's our date night. And I'm like, I don't want this to always count. But our anniversary is this month, April 4th. So we're gonna try to get a babysitter, or we actually got a babysitter. We found someone we trust that loves Eden. Eden loves her, and we got our date night scheduled for April 6th. So I'm happy. And yeah, so that's our goal, one date night a month.
What advice would you give other parents who, you know, have an autistic child or autistic children and they are trying to, you know, make time for themselves and, you know, trying to prioritize their needs and wants? What advice would you give them?
Plan ahead. And even if it's a year, like say if you want to go out of town, even if it's a staycation for a weekend, plan ahead, let people know. You got to get creative sometimes because things can be expensive if you're paying $16 to $20 an hour for a babysitter and you just want to go to Scoobies, right? So look at Groupons. See if you can, you know, have your village, have a village. If you don't have a village, sometimes you have to make one. Use all your resources. So Eden has respite. We actually I met with her support coordinator yesterday. Still no respite care, but we pay out of pocket for a a babysitter. But if you have respite, have like get all those services so you can get that respite, that break that you and your spouse need, and see if you can find other moms, autism moms. Yeah, that's my advice, but plan ahead definitely to let people know what your plans are, because it's a lot for people that's not used to dealing with people or autistic children. So it could be a lot for them and it might not work. And sometimes you just got to take that L, and sometimes you may not be able to go anywhere when you want to. It's parenting is a sacrifice. So, yeah.
So let's go back to your book, because I want to make sure that, you know, we talk about your book so people know, you know, the concept and everything. Okay. I know your daughter was the motivation, but yes. Tell us, what do you hope people will gain from reading your book?
Well, I want them to know everything's going to be okay. It will be okay. You just got to keep pushing. Hopefully, I've heard that from reviews that I received, that a page reminds them of when their child was little, or something that they're going through right now. Like there's a chapter, a page where, you know, we have to turn off the light. We have to do singy song things to make her, to motivate her, because she loves music, she loves animals. Hopefully it will just motivate people to just be more accepting. And if you see a child stimming, I know it's okay to look, but don't stare. We don't need your comments. You can help, like, oh, can I hold your bag while you get your child together? Or, you know, I remember there was a lady in the airport and he was having a meltdown. He didn't want to go through the screening. And so I offered to hold the bags while they got him through. And they had an issue with that because you're not supposed to have other people's stuff. So I wish the community, like community workers, would be more accepting, like airport workers, waitresses, you know, everybody. Mesa, I'm in Gilbert, but Mesa is an autism city. And so their police, actually, their officers actually took autism training. Mm-hmm. And I would love to do that and get that together for Gilbert. I feel like Arizona, though, for the most part, is very friendly. Like, we had a couple incidences, but for the most part, everybody's pretty accepting here, and they know because people move here because our services are wonderful compared to other states. That's probably why, that's one of the reasons why I probably wouldn't move back home to Nebraska, because it's getting better. Nebraska has a sensory gym now. I think we talked about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's getting better. But, and then of course we have a school choice here. So Eden is in a special private school just for autistic children. And she's thriving. Like, she does stuff at school. Like, you need to do this at home. Like, the teacher said she had the broom.
Oh, I love it.
So they do like life skills stuff. So they're, I guess there was a unit about the kitchen, Black History Month. She learned about Malcolm X. It's like, what? Louis Armstrong, of course, the Martin Luther King. I was like, this is awesome. And hopefully, you know, she may not be able to verbalize stuff, but I feel like she'll recognize those people. Like, she loves Bob Marley and she can point him out. I was like, where's Bob Marley? And so, yeah, but she loves his music.
Yeah, oh, she got good taste in music.
He does. I'm trying to get her to like Michael Jackson. She's not feeling Michael Jackson. I don't know why, but I was like, I'll take it. Bob Marley is fine.
Not quite. I think you mentioning how the community could show a little bit more grace to, people, children who are autistic, I couldn't agree more. There are so many times where I have to kind of check people, on Gavin's behalf. There was one time where he was we were at a place called Andretti where it has like go-karts and then like games and arcades and things like that. Well, he decided to go where you get the prizes. He went behind the counter. So, because he saw all the stuffed animals. He saw it. So what I had to do was, and of course these are teenagers that are working there, right? And there's a teenager like, "Hey, you can't come back here." And I was like, "Okay, listen, stop. He's my child. Don't talk to him, talk to me. I will get him. He doesn't understand that he can't come back here, but don't touch him because I feel like he was trying to block him." And I'm like, "No, do not touch him. I will get him." So I feel like it would just do us so much better, and especially in this country, to for people to be more accepting and understand if someone is tapping or doing whatever kind of stimming they do, that's normal. People stim. Like when you shake your leg, that's stimming,
On that now.
But that's a normal thing. But it's like the way, an autistic person might stim might be different from the way that someone else stims, So I think that it's so important for people to be educated on, the different things that come along with autism and how it's such a huge spectrum and that every autistic child is different, So I'm so grateful for you for being here, for raising more awareness, for having your book. I think that is just amazing that you actually, stepped out and created a book of autism acceptance. Like, kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
And so, with this being Organize Me Radio, I have to ask, what are some of your favorite organizing products, that help you to maintain organization in your home?
So I don't know if this counts, but I have a lot of sticky notes, and we have like desk file drawers, because she has a lot of paperwork. Oh my gosh. Those IEPs get thick over the years. And then her goals with the state as well, because she's on DDD. Let's see, Google Calendar. If it's not in Google Calendar, it's not an event if it's not on Google Calendar. What else? Oh, we have a whiteboard, and things that I need to get done that day that comes up, I write it on a whiteboard. That's pretty much it. If you have any more advice, I just
That's
kind of.
great though, because I think when it comes to having an autistic child, and like you said, she has a lot, right? She had There's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of therapies, there's a lot of that. So I think that whatever you can do to stay productive, like to make sure that you and Mike are on the same page. Like me and Eric, Google Calendar, that's our best friend, like we do the Google Calendar thing too. So it's one of the best things, having a shared calendar so you can see what they have on their calendar and you know what's going on and you know when to schedule things. So that's good. I like those. All right. So the final question, can you tell me what is your greatest achievement in life?
Well, hopefully, there will be more achievements because I'm not dead yet. So, but I guess I would say publishing my own book. I didn't go through a company, I did it on my own. That makes it harder, but I'm kind of proud of myself for doing that. And hopefully, I have some, well, I do have some more books in me, and hopefully, I'll be able to publish them in the near future.
Amelia, thank you so much for being on the
Thank
podcast.
you.
I appreciate your time and I enjoyed this conversation. And I love that we're raising awareness about autism and hopefully more people will become accepting of it. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more information about you and where they can purchase your book?
Yes, so you can purchase my book on Amazon.com, and I also have a website. It's MEA Writes For You, MEA Writes For the number four, you, the just the letter you.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Amelia.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you all for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time for an all new episode.